let me in. Shiba, shiba. I want to be closer to you. Shiba, shiba. Open up your soul. Shiba, shiba. Let me find that part of you, the part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your love.
Oh, why don't you let me in? Let me be the first to ever touch your mind.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. There is a show opening, I believe, this week. It's called After Happy, and I've got the writer of said show here to talk about it, Patricia Milton. Welcome.
Thanks, Marilyn. It's great to be here.
So, Patricia, how long have you been writing plays?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'll tell you, when I was a little kid, I wrote plays and put them on in the garage. quite a long time.
So,
and for Central Works, I've written, I think this is my eighth play for them. So,
wow. Yeah. Well, I want to go back to those plays you wrote in your garage. Did you put them on for the kids in the neighborhood or your family? And what was the subject of all of these plays?
Right. Well, I forced the kids in the neighborhood to be in the play.
Okay.
Yes, I did put them on for my family.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did mostly was have the plays be an extension of certain TV shows that I saw. So, but I have always preferred live theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very lucky that my parents took me to see live theater. And I think live performance is, you get that exciting experience mm-hmm. of the artist and the audience going through the same experience at the same time in the same place.
Mm.
And that is just a unique experience that you don't get with any other type of art.
So what was the first play that you wrote where you felt like you were officially a playwright?
That was probably in college. I wrote a number of plays in college, mm-hmm. and I was in the theater department at San Francisco State. But what was odd about San Francisco State, I think it's still the same way. The theater department covers acting, directing, you know, stage craft.
Mm-hmm.
But the playwriting is over in the English department.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it should be in with theater because it's such a, it ends up being an embodiment kind of art
mm-hmm.
rather than sitting on the page. And I always think that people who are teaching Shakespeare should take kids to go see a Shakespeare play because it's so much different when people are actually performing it than when you read it on the page.
Okay, so as a lifelong playwright, because you were writing them as a child, what were the things that you learned once you actually started taking classes in writing plays?
Oh, many, 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 many things.
Okay. Such as?
I have a comic point of view. So I would say, generally speaking, the majority of my plays are comedies.
Okay.
And I've written a couple of serious plays, and they are very intense and very difficult plays for people to watch because they're very visceral for people.
Okay.
So I stick with the comedy. I also don't like to spend a lot of time with those characters sometimes because they're unpleasant. So I like to be with the comedy people. Anyway, I learned a lot about comedy, timing. I learned I learned what's funny. And I learned, it's so interesting to me, Marilyn. I learned, of course, Aristotle has a lot of ideas about theater and what is required in theater. And theater is generally about a single individual, the protagonist, who goes through a journey. They're battling something, and they either win or they lose. And in recent years, I have come to want to kind of fight that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I have written more and more plays that are about a group of people fighting something or trying to accomplish something, because I feel that the singular hero has not stood us in good stead.
Okay.
So the individual hero often turns out to not be what we should be looking for. We should be looking for community, looking to stick together, looking to each other for strength instead of a singular hero.
Okay. Now, I have a question, because I knew nothing about Aristotle's involvement in theater. So can you tell me, I gleaned some of it from what you were talking about, but what was Aristotle's theater, and were there other competing theories of how theater should work?
Well, of course there are. I mean, I'm talking about Western theater, so this absolutely does not apply in other cultures. So, for example, in the East, in Chinese theater or Japanese theater, it just really doesn't apply. But he talked about unity of place. So the play takes place in one place, unity of time. So the play doesn't jump around in time.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about spectacle. So there needs to be some kind of, you know, spectacular thing that people get to see. And I'm trying to think of the other ones. But anyway, so what's interesting is at Central Works, we have a very small theater. It's a very intimate theater.
Mm-hmm.
And the spectacle at Central Works is not, for example, a giant, gorgeous set or fabulous costumes. It's the actors.
Okay.
Because the actors are so close to the audience. You really get a spectacle of fantastic acting that's just inches away from you.
Okay. Okay. So you've been pushing back, and I feel as a theater goer that people have been going their own way for a long time. I don't feel that people have been locked into that Aristotelian model. So when did you first decide, you know what, Aristotle, meh?
I'm trying to think. Well, it's interesting. I wrote a little trilogy about the Victorian Ladies Detective Collective.
Oh, I remember that.
And I tried to take the tropes of Victorian mysteries and get rid of, you know, Sherlock Holmes, you know, the irritating guy that knows everything.
Uh-huh.
And instead have three women who work together to solve the mystery. And it was really important to me to show them as being confronted by what in Victorian times was, well, and still today is the attitude towards women that, you know, sit down, little lady, you
right.
don't know anything.
Right, right, right.
And be able to overcome that and, you know, solve mysteries. So I wrote three of those plays. And they've actually been very, very popular.
Well, let's talk about all the plays you've written, because I recall the Victorian Ladies Detective Collective. But what are some of the other shows that you've written?
Well, I wrote a show called Believers, and that was a play about a love vaccine.
Mm.
And that was, it was based on the story of the Frog Prince. And there was a drug developer, who had been very wounded by a relationship that he had been in. Mm-hmm. And he wanted to develop a love vaccine so he would never fall in love again. And so that was a comedy, obviously. And so she shows up at his drug lab, and they have to team up on this vaccine together. And I really enjoyed that play. That was a lot of fun. We had a relationship expert. Mm-hmm. Her name is Ms. Heartbeat, and she came to post-show talkbacks, and people would stay and ask her questions about their relationship. Aww. It was really, really fun. And then I was able to take that play to Istanbul.
Wow.
And they had translated it, and it played over there for 3 years. So,
wow.
And for some reason, it completely played over there. There's nothing like sitting in an audience and listening to people laughing at your lines in a completely other language.
So when did you understand, did you learn any Turkish because it was there for so long?
I did not. I just went to one performance.
Okay.
Over there.
Uh-huh.
But I know the lines. Mm-hmm. And they translated it pretty much verbatim. So I could tell which lines were happening coming out of the character's mouth, and then people would laugh. So I could identify them.
That's amazing.
It was great. And they did it kind of steampunk.
Oh,
the costumes and the sets were steampunk, so that was really fun. A lot of times I really have like a social critique or a feminist critique. With the Victorian ladies, I have a biracial character as one of the ladies, and she is she's an American. Mm-hmm. And she comes over to London. So we have the person that represents America, the United States of America, in that play is a biracial woman. Mm-hmm. And she's an immigrant. And I felt really strongly about that, because usually in a lot of plays where you see, you know, the American in London, it's some white guy. Uh-huh. And the fact that he's an immigrant is not even mentioned. So, I was, you know, very interested in that. And I've written plays about the 2008 financial meltdown.
Mm. It's hard to believe that was almost 20 years ago.
AI. Mm-hmm. AI, the engine of our disruption.
Okay.
I wrote that play. That was actually before the AI explosion.
Mm-hmm.
And people were actually coming into the theater saying, well, what is AI? And I was able to actually kind of explain what was going on with it. It had self-driving cars in it and so on. So that was fun.
Okay. So fast forward to today, and you've written a show called After Happy. Now, what is that?
Well, Happy is a hurricane, the name of a hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
That hit Lake Charles. And the reason that I wrote it, I wanted to write a comedy about that touched on climate change.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you may think that's impossible. And for a little while, I did too. But I read two different articles that I managed to combine into this play.
Mm-hmm.
One was a man who had a family-owned oil company near Lake Charles.
Mm-hmm.
And he was, you know, obviously refining and selling the fossil fuels. And at the same time, he wanted to expand into selling carbon offsets. which is to buy a forest and then sell to people who are burning fossil fuels carbon offsets, which means the forest will not be cut down, and so you can offset the carbon that you're burning by saying, oh, I have interest in this forest.
Ah.
Which is actually kind of a greenwashing scam.
Sure.
Because
that
the forest is already there. And there's you're putting more carbon into the air, so it's not actually reducing carbon.
Right, anyway. Right. Anyway.
So anyway, it was very interesting that this guy was both selling fossil fuels and then also pretending that he was reducing fossil fuels. And then the other thing was this Louisiana Pirate Festival.
Okay.
Which is an annual event that takes place at Lake Charles, where they celebrate the pirate Jean Lafitte.
Okay.
And he is a famous pirate, I guess,
mm-hmm.
who is kind of a folk hero around those parts. And I started thinking about pirates, and certainly there are a lot of quotes about pirates and business
mm-hmm.
and how there's not much difference between the two. And also Jean Lafitte, there's a lot to actually not celebrate him, since he smuggled enslaved people from the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they've been celebrating him for quite some time. And also pirates are, hold a very strange place in our consciousness, because people just love pirates, right? But when you really step back and look at pirates, they're kind of horrible.
Right.
They're kind of serial killers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, so I wanted to combine the two of those and have the Pirate Festival going on and the oil company sponsoring this Pirate Festival
mm-hmm.
and in need of a Pirate Festival queen.
Mm. I love it. And you were able to plummet for the full depths of humor.
Yes.
And as far as I'm concerned, no matter what it is, well, they say that comedy is tragedy plus time. So, you know, I guess the time has come. So who's in this play?
Oh, my gosh. Well, we have a wonderful cast. It's three women.
Mm-hmm.
They're all local Bay Area artists. There's Jan Zweifler from Berkeley. She is the co-director of Central Works.
Okay.
There's Lauren Dunnigan. She's from San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
She was in the last Victorian Ladies play okay. that we did.
Okay.
And she's been seen with ACT in their program and, you know, some other shows.
Mm-hmm.
And then Razan Asfaw. Plays Steph, who is something of an eco warrior, and she's amazing. She's great,
okay.
And she's from Oakland, Oakland based.
Very cool. And who's directing this play?
Oh, that's Gary Graves.
Okay,
he's the co-director of Central Works.
All right. And will we be hearing any pirate shanties, either new
or
old?
Oh, I'm afraid so. Yes. In fact, What Do We Do with the Drunken Sailor is a ringtone in this play. So,
nice.
There you go.
It's funny. Some friends of mine were just talking about that very shanty this weekend, because he always thought that it was something that was made up by drag queens, and found out that it was a real shanty.
That's hilarious.
And so, yeah, so I would like to know what all the words are to that shanty song.
Yeah. Well, shanties are great. Unfortunately, they are very earwormy.
Sure.
And I have been having very bad earworms from this play, so.
Well, did you give yourself like a tonic by playing Nina Simone's Pirate Jenny to like try to erase
it? Exactly. Yeah, you have to get something to replace that.
Yes. Or Muskrat Love also can erase, but you know, it's like it's the price you pay for trying to erase it in any event.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's talk about when the show opens and where it opens.
Yes. The show is playing at the Berkeley City Club.
Where's that?
Which is on Durant Avenue near Telegraph in Berkeley.
Oh, okay.
And it's Bartable.
Yes.
So it's probably about a 4-block walk from BART, from downtown Berkeley BART.
Got it.
And
when does it open?
That it is opening on Saturday, the 28th of February.
So this Saturday, this coming Saturday.
It will play till March 29th. So it's a 4-week run.
So you're right in the middle of Tech Week right now, correct?
We are, yes. It's fun. Well, we just got all the costumes, and the costumes are great. You know, even though I said mean things about pirates, their clothing is wonderful. So.
That may be what sells it for people is the cute outfits.
Exactly.
So, tell us a little bit about the theater company.
Oh well, Central Works is the new play theater. So Central Works only does new plays.
Oh, okay.
And so you'll never see Waiting for Godot or Shakespeare or anything at Central Works.
Oh, very nice.
It's a new place for the American theater. And they do it in some really interesting ways. There is a Central Works Writers Workshop where writers get together and create plays. It's really a wonderful kind of nurturing environment for plays. They also accept new plays, so if a play comes in that they'd like to do, they'll do it.
Okay.
And then there's something called the Central Works Method, and I wrote a play that way once, and I would not do it again. It's kind of like walking a tightrope, but you just pick kind of an idea.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea I picked was, the play was called Rejection in Force. This was the meltdown play, financial meltdown play.
Oh, okay.
And you get three, I chose three characters, and it was a wealth management company. The director needed to fire one of her employees.
Okay.
So it was the wealth manager and two employees.
Oh.
And so we bring the actors in and the director and the playwright, and you announce the play and everything, and you have not written a word.
Okay, go on.
Yes, terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. So then we get in a room and we start talking about it, and we all do research together. We look, and of course this was the meltdown had been recent, so you know we could use a lot of contemporary information. And what was interesting was the play did end up with a very large, almost Occupy Wall Street uprising at the end of it.
Okay.
And that was before Occupy Wall Street happened.
Oh.
So the play was actually kind of predictive of what was going to happen. And it's really interesting how when you do very, very deep research on something, you can actually kind of predict what's going to happen next.
But you were doing this, so like how much time between when you announced the play and when you had to mount it did you have to write and put it together?
I had 5 months.
Oh, okay. So then I guess I don't understand.
Not much.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because sounds like you were pretty successful, but what, were you just eating and breathing this play the whole time because you were in a
absolutely.
Hot sweat?
And, you know, a deadline is always very invigorating.
Yes, yes. It's very easy to just say, I'm going to write a play, but if you have to say, it needs to be done by such and such a date, I can see how, you know, that would stir you to action. So, again,
exactly.
The name of this play is After Happy.
After Happy.
After Happy. It opens this Saturday.
Correct.
And how do people get tickets for the show?
Well, they can visit centralworks.org.
Mm-hmm.
That's centralworks.org.
Mm-hmm. And then if people want to find out more about your body of work or just want to follow what you're doing, how would they go about doing that?
Well, they can go to Patricia Milton. That's all one word, patriciamilton.net.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Patricia Milton, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. And if there's one message you want to leave our listening audience with, what would that be?
Activism and community are powerful tools for change.
Excellent. Well, with that, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Marilyn. I enjoyed it.
All right. People of Earth, this is your opportunity to go check out After Happy, because she mentioned wins and all of that stuff, and that it was at Louisiana. Let's listen to The Hurricane by Beau Soleil.
love me, love me, say you do. Let me fly away.
You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. That's Nina Simone in the background. Wild is the Wind. Also heard Beausoleil and the Hurricane from Our New Orleans. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. I have my librarianista du jour. Madam, please introduce yourself.
My name is Emmalou Moore. I work at the Western Addition branch of our public library system.
And how long have you been at the Western Addition?
I've been there, I count it by school years because I'm a youth services librarian, and so about 2.5 school years.
Oh, wow. So yeah. What got
you? Not very long.
What got you into the library?
Oh, I've been in working as a librarian for about 17 years. I was working in a nonprofit downtown in human resources. And one of the people we hired was getting their Master of Library Science at San Jose State. Mm-hmm. And a lifelong bookworm that I am wanted to jump on that. So that's what led me to becoming a librarian.
Very cool. Very cool. And so you're at the Western Addition branch. Now, which one is the Western Addition branch for our listeners who don't know which one that is?
Yes. Of the 27 branches that we have in San Francisco, our lovely Western Addition branch, light-filled, beautiful branch, is on Geary at Scott Street, which is just a block off of Divisadero.
Yeah.
Geographically, the closest to this radio station.
Very cool. Very cool. And I know each branch has its own sort of specialty.
Yes.
So what's the specialty for Western Addition?
So we have several. We have, second to the main, we have the largest Japanese language collection in the system, as well as a focus on for our collection development, we emphasize Japanese language as well as African American culture, Black community, authors, themes, history. Because of our surrounding neighborhood.
Cool. Now, we're going into March.
Yes.
So I know there's like a million things happening in March. So let's start with the one that you want to make sure we all know about.
So I selfishly want to tell you about something I'm very excited about in our branch. Mm-hmm. This was main library has a large for us, gallery on the bottom floor of the main library at Civic Center. And one of the many awesome exhibits they recently showed was Skateboarding San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yes. So because I have a 13-year-old son who loves to skateboard, I used to live in this neighborhood and love a youth organization, SF Skate Club. Mm-hmm. I asked if we could host part of that exhibit at the Western Addition branch. Mm-hmm. It was just recently installed last week.
Oh, okay.
And so not the full exhibit, certainly, because the branches are much smaller than the main. Mm-hmm. But many photos from the 1970s through today of skateboarders in San Francisco are featured in our library. I have already taken a fifth grade class to walk through silently. That was a lot of fun with all the patrons at the tables doing their thing. But I'm specifically planning and hosting programming along with that exhibit. I want to invite everyone who's listening and to pass a word on about the kind of an opening night for the exhibit. Mm-hmm. Will be Wednesday, March 25th from 4 to 7 p.m. Mm-hmm. I'll be featuring videos of one of our local native San Franciscan pro skateboarders, Javonte Turner.
Okay.
Who's well known in the skateboarding community.
Yeah, that name sounds familiar.
Yeah. Since the 90s, he's been a pro. And so that'll be some of the videos playing in the background after you check out some of the photos.
Okay. I was going to ask about the skateboarding, because you say you have stuff from the 70s?
1970s through today, because San Francisco has such a rich culture of skateboarding.
So when you look at them, like, these are their kids back then. Yeah. Do you ever have a skateboarder wander in who was from the 70s and say, hey, that's me?
Not yet. Currently, it's been the youngsters that are big skaters. We have had requests for the artwork itself to be able to put on display in classrooms or youth organizations.
Okay.
We haven't heavily promoted the fact that it's at our library yet. Mm-hmm. It was featured at the Ortega branch for a few months. But yeah, none of the OG, if you will, or old timers.
Well,
yeah.
It's just a matter of time, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's such a great exhibit. I love it. Yeah.
So, okay, so and how long is that exhibit going to be there?
That's actually running all the way through May.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
very
that's,
cool.
Yeah, that's
that sounds like it's going to be a highlight. Student favorite.
I think so. Okay. But I'd love to share with you some of our weekly offerings.
Please.
You know, as per usual, everything through the public library is free.
Mm-hmm.
My coworker is hosting an adult tech support drop-in session on Wednesday, March 18th from 1 to 2 p.m. Our branch manager hosts a monthly story time for adults.
Okay.
She actually chooses wonderful short stories to read aloud every third Saturday of the month. It is recommended for 18 plus. They are adult stories.
Okay.
From Saturday, March 21st from 4 to 5 p.m.
Yes. So I want to double back to the tech support
yes.
one, because I feel that we are all just one update away from not understanding our devices.
Right. Yeah.
So when you say tech support, what does it cover?
So it covers general use of your own device. We have also laptops in the library that you can borrow and bring into our program room where it will take place.
Mm-hmm.
But one of our librarians will be leading the workshop. And I'll be honest, I think this is the second one we've hosted, and we didn't get a great turnout for the first one, sadly. But what that ends up meaning is you could get a lot of one-on-one time
okay.
with our librarian. But she's very well equipped to handle whoever comes our way. Bring in your own device, mm-hmm. borrow one of our laptops, mm-hmm. and she'll be there with you to show you the ropes.
What about laptops, cell phones, iPads?
Yep.
Okay.
Anything. Can I say anything with a screen? Would that apply?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
That works.
Kindle. I'm a Kindle expert. I'm an e-reader.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Because I do feel that these days everything ships without instructions, and there's all
confusing.
These things that you are involuntarily opted into that, like, I don't want it to do this. How do I make this go away?
Absolutely. Yeah. I struggle with parental controls trying to help manage my kids' screen time with a 12 and 13-year-old. So just navigating how to use parental controls mm-hmm. in and of itself is challenging, and I thought I was tech savvy.
So for the tech support stuff, what would you say would be the most common question that comes through the door?
Yeah, well, recovering passwords, we can walk you through that. We have a lot of senior citizens in mm-hmm. our neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
and we had it scheduled at 5 and realized that was not a great time.
A lot of people's bedtimes.
A lot of people's bedtimes are in the middle of after school stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we moved it to 1, and we expect to really hit that target audience, I think, that
needs
support with, maybe wanting to check out an electronic book
mm-hmm.
or an audio book to listen to
mm-hmm.
or simple things like enlarging the font on your screen.
Mm-hmm.
So simple to us, but not
to me, I should say.
But I mean, printing in the library, that's,
mm-hmm.
I will say, number one question that all the staff members help with is how to print in our library, because we do offer free printing
mm-hmm.
And we have it all set up for you to log onto a computer and print. And with tax season coming,
sure.
That'll be a big hit.
Sure. So yeah. Just as an aside,
yes.
There's all of these things about set up a passkey. But
right.
People don't know what a passkey is. I barely know what a passkey is. And
yeah.
I would even go so far as to say I actually don't really know. I just don't trust it.
Right.
So is that something that people would be able to find out what that is when they come in?
Yes.
And whether or not it's safe or...
Because yes,
there's so many
absolutely.
Ways that people, that you can be fooled into accidentally
exactly.
downloading malware
mm-hmm.
or giving, I don't know, someone in the...
Soviet Union access to your baby pictures or whatever.
Right. Yes, pass keys will be defined and explained, and anything like that that makes you nervous might make you nervous about using your technology.
Okay.
And not wanting your information to be accessible to other people, but wanting to be able to access it yourself.
Sure. Okay.
Which can be challenging.
Okay. So we've talked about the tech support. We've mm-hmm. talked about the adult story time. What else is happening in the month of March? Or even ongoing.
The same adult services librarian and I co-host a monthly craft circle, mm-hmm. the first Sundays of every month. Any project you're working on, just drop in, bring it with you, and you'll become a part of a community that's working on their handwork and just chatting and maybe meeting a new friend.
What kind of crafts?
So primarily knitting and crocheting,
okay.
but we've seen people coloring. We've seen people doing the diamond art with the little gemstones and the and just any kind of hands-on work that you would rather be sitting alongside someone.
Oh, okay. Like parallel doing. Play.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Exactly.
And that's the first Sunday of every month?
That's the first Sunday of every month at 3 o'clock. So it's coming up soon, Sunday, mm-hmm. March 1st, mm-hmm. 3 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have some our standing story times for families.
Mm-hmm.
Mondays, I just had one today at 10:15 this morning. Great group of kids for read aloud story time.
How old are those kids?
My story time, I plan the program for all ages because mm-hmm. I get a smattering of toddlers and babies. My coworker has a huge following. On Tuesday mornings, her first story time at 11, uh-huh. every Tuesday at 11, is geared towards toddlers.
Oh, okay.
Her second story time that starts at 11:45 is geared towards babies. And there is a distinction between the activities, of course.
Sure.
Yeah.
So with babies,
mm-hmm.
Like I think of babies as you know, they nibble on books.
Right.
But how do you structure a story time, or what kinds of stories appeal to babies versus toddlers?
I'm so glad you asked, because as a K-8 librarian of 15 years, as I was mentioned earlier,
mm-hmm.
I personally didn't have that skill set when I joined a baby story time skill set when I joined the library system. So I learned quickly that it comes down to just the sound of our voices and expressions.
Okay.
And we guide parents, any caregiver, in the tactile, you know, walking your fingers down their back or, you know, touching the bottom of their feet if they're not mobile yet, if they're in your lap.
Okay.
A lot of our programming is a combination of reading a book aloud, mm-hmm. As well as singing songs.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, the melodies and the words for infants to hear is just that is part of their brain development, right?
Are there specific books that that the babies respond to? Like, I know, like the Eric Kale ones.
Yes.
Nieces and nephews were toddlers.
Yeah,
I loved reading those because then they could read them back.
Right, right. Well, with the infants, I'll draw on my mom experience too. You know, black and white images certainly are more striking the bigger they are with the illustrations.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, with any kind of rhyming and song,
yes.
Which reminds me of walking in here and seeing all the beautiful vinyl. But music, yeah. So music is one of the foundational pieces of our story time.
Okay. I have to say, like, I'm imagining you reading to toddlers, and it must be like having being surrounded by kittens and puppies.
Oh, yeah. Yes, actually, I do. Yeah. I remember after the pandemic and the kids came back, kindergartners, and they were like big preschoolers, and they just rolled around on the floor together. They needed that physical contact
sure.
and that social interaction. And I did describe them as like a little pile of puppies rolling around.
Love it. Yeah.
Okay,
so we the story time. Mm-hmm. When was the story times again?
So Mondays at 10:15 is uh-huh. my all ages
all
family
ages.
Story time.
Okay.
Tuesdays we host an 11 o'clock story time at Western Edition Branch for
mm-hmm.
toddlers.
Mm-hmm.
11:45 for babies.
And do you need to sign up for it, or can you just show up?
You just drop in.
Okay.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
What else is happening at the library?
Similarly, we mm-hmm. are hosting what is called a big play date.
Ooh.
For little kids,
uh-huh.
5 and younger, on Saturday, March 1st, from 10 to 12. you come in with your child.
But March 1st is Sunday.
Did I say March 1st? I meant Saturday, March 21st.
Oh, 21st. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That makes more sense.
I missed it
too. All right.
Yeah. Saturday, March 21st.
Okay.
From 10 to 12. Play, learn, and explore with blocks, little builders, magnet tiles, painting, all for ages 5 and younger.
And did you say it's the first time or you've done it before?
We've done it before.
Okay.
Other branches do it as well. I myself have not hosted it, which may be why I'm jumbling it a little bit.
Okay, because I'm just imagining it would have to be a madhouse.
It is. It's a little chaotic, yes.
But you guys have that little patio area.
We have a lovely outdoor area.
And then you're right
next.
That
is all self-contained. There's a nice big fence around it if you've got a runner. My son was not a runner, but it's all self-contained. Actually, that's where our Tuesday story times often take place. You know, unless the weather's inclement. But that's where I did it this morning. It's lovely. Trees. I think there's a Japanese maple.
Okay. Yeah. And so it's March 21st for the play date.
Yes.
And what time does that start?
10 o'clock.
And you can just show
up? A couple
up?
Hours. Yep. Just drop in.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. I'm just going to keep pumping you for
I've got a
activities.
List.
All right.
I've got a list. The two things I wanted to make sure that I tell you about while I'm here, our Western Addition branch, your closest branch, is turning 60.
When?
Our branch was opened in 1966. This year, and we're hosting a party. I don't know the actual birthday that it was open. There's probably a ribbon cutting ceremony, but we're excited to be planning a big party for it.
Okay.
At any rate, Saturday, May 2nd, if you're listening, mark your calendars. Everyone's invited.
Is that normally your open house day?
Or? It is. Branch has an open house, an annual open house, every branch. Some host them during street festivals. They get quite large. We host ours on our back patio. It's beautiful. And throughout the library, we have a program room as well. So we have activities throughout the library, live music performances, some food.
We've even had a table there.
Have you?
Yeah.
Wonderful. I think we will be inviting you, actually.
Oh, excellent.
Are inviting local organizations and community members that are important to us, and we want everyone to come.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so what day is that again?
Saturday, May 2nd from 1 to 5 p.m.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah. Now, when I was there, you guys like gave out little tiny it's to the kids.
Yes, I've heard of those. We're hoping to get some ice cream.
Yeah.
Maybe my branch manager
and the musicians were amazing.
Yes.
Every time I've gone, I've just been like, oh, my God, who are they? I need to have them on. You know, so.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that.
All right. So that's going on.
Yep.
And I see you have like some full color flyers. What's that
about?
Well,
this was related to, this is the cover page of our annual report. They used, throughout the annual report, they used a lot of the wonderful photography from the local San Francisco skateboard exhibit.
Very cool.
But I thought that your listeners might actually be interested in this.
We've got Sole, S-O-L-E.
Yes. This colorful flyer that I just held up reads, "We've got Sole, hip-hop, hoops, and the rise of sneaker culture." So one of the smaller exhibit locations at the main library at Civic Center is showing a retrospect of sneaker culture and how it intersects with hip-hop music and basketball. And that has opened. It opened the middle of January, and it's running through May 15th, 2026.
Okay.
That takes place on the third floor of the main library in the African American Center.
Okay. Those dates and times again.
It opened and it's running through May 15th, 2026, of course, at the African American Center on the third floor of the main library.
Very cool. Very cool. Do you guys ever move around from branch to branch, like one-offs or things like that?
I consider myself fortunate in a way as a part-timer. I work 3 days a week, and I love picking up extra shifts at all of the other branches, including I got to do the bookmobile one time at the Corrette Playground. We have 4 bookmobiles, and at least one, if not, I know one of them has a schedule that rotates throughout the city to do story times for kids. But yes, we pop around to all the branches.
For you, since you've been to a number of branches, is there one that you weren't familiar with that you were like, wow, I've never been here before. This is great.
Yeah. Ingleside was one of my more recent ones.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where is that?
Ocean Avenue, on the same side as Whole Foods, kind of across from the McDonald's.
Okay.
Ingleside Library is filled with light, like Western Addition Branch. On top, I'm a very visual person. As you get, when you walk in, a staff member there has curated and taken care of their thriving, all of these beautiful orchids that line the bookshelf, the tops of the bookshelves.
Okay.
They have a beautiful teen area that's nice and big and spacious for the teens to gather in. And then everything that every one of our branches has, all of the books, certainly, you can pick up your holds there, print for free, of course. But it's, I'm personally naturally drawn to, I think we all are, light filled space. And yeah, it's a lovely little library.
Okay. Well, we just have like a couple more minutes. Is there one more thing you want to tell us about?
I think I got through the list of things that I wanted to be sure and tell you.
Okay.
Nothing besides come visit our libraries. Everyone's welcome all the time.
And I know that the Night of Ideas is somewhere in the offing.
It is.
It's like in April?
April 11th. We got notification. Yes, Night of Ideas.
Okay.
Thank you for reminding me.
I've been there, but I shouldn't be the one to tell people what it's about.
I have been there as a staff member. I've worked two in a row. Last year, the Night of Ideas is basically... The library is open. There's an afternoon of ideas for the family, for families in the children's center, the main children's center. This all takes place at the main. And then the library is open through 1 o'clock in the morning. And people are bouncing. There are DJs. There are speakers, performances, all kinds of things. Last year, I worked at the Asian Art Museum.
Oh, yeah.
For the Night of Ideas as a San Francisco public librarian because they expanded Night of Ideas to include the Asian Art Museum as a location with a bunch of different
events.
And
they had like a silent movie.
They had lowrider cars in between the library and Asian Art Museum that were there. There was a big light exhibit display that was beautiful night. So, yes, that will be taking place again April 11th, I believe it is. Tickets, of course, are free, but I do recommend going online to register to get your free tickets.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, and with that, a lot of fun.
I want to thank you so much for being on the show today, Emma.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Okay, people of Earth, libraries, they are a gift from on high because it's a way that you have access to things that you normally would have to pay like a bajillion dollars for, but instead you can just go for free, and it's very equalizing and great and fun. Speaking of equalizing and great and fun, Mr. Ford will be in here to pleasure your ear hole. Until next week, my friends, ta-ta and toodly-doo.
Last night my dog began to bark. The baby started to cry.